Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. Are you following Catholic Sports Radio on social media yet? I would really love to see more folks engaged that way. There are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There is a button for that as well on catholicsportsradio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. I think I mentioned this last week in regards to the website, catholicsportsradio.net, and the fact that I've told you it was built by a company called Merchantside Marketing Group. They recently did a website for me called interviewtipscourse.com, and I'm trying to get a hold of my contact who I've mentioned before owns the company and is a devout Christian. I'm going to invite him to put on that website that it was built by Merchantside Marketing Group so that people who visit that site can see another example of the work that they do. And I've told you that they don't just do websites, so I encourage you, use their ads on catholicsportsradio.net to get in touch with them and find out more about all of their various services and how they can help you or someone you know that might need a website and or marketing. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. You have heard me on past episodes of this show talk about rules in hockey against hitting a player from behind headfirst into the boards. We see calls in football against a defensive player committing an act against a player who is deemed to be, quote, in a defenseless posture. In cycling, we see situations where you brace yourself knowing that two or more bicycles are likely about to go down in a heap, not unlike auto racing, where you see a car in a vulnerable position. I could go on with the likes of skiing and more, but the fact is there is an element of danger throughout all of these situations. More and more in society today, we are hearing about individuals who are put into a position where they fear for themselves, sensing imminent danger. In all of what I have just mentioned here, the tendency will be some defense mechanism. But we all know the power of prayer. And in the Old Testament, we hear in Psalm 91, verses 2 to 4, quote, "Say to the Lord, my refuge and fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague. He will shelter you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a protecting shield." End quote. Friends, this is just another reminder that we should seek him at all times. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a NASCAR Hall of Famer who was the 1983 champion of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and had three Daytona 500 victories among numerous other titles and championships. He won on 27 different tracks and had at least three wins in every NASCAR major. He ended his career with 85 victories and was named one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers. He was also a 7-time Most Popular Driver Award winner. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bobby Allison.
Hello there.
Thank you for doing this today.
You're welcome, for sure.
Bobby, you were born in Miami, Florida, but how many brothers and sisters did you have, and what was your family's faith life like?
I had 9 brothers and sisters, 10 of us who grew to adulthood. We also had 3 babies that died as babies, which in those days was accepted a little bit more readily than it is in today's world. And surviving with 6 girls and 4 boys. And we were Catholic. We went to Mass on Sunday as a family. My mom and dad were great Catholic parents and really did a lot of special things for us along the way, accompanying us to school events and other activities that involved one or more than one of us along the way.
And so when you say that there were 10 of you amongst your brothers and sisters, where did you fall in terms of oldest or youngest or somewhere among those 10? What number child were you?
I was 4th in line. I had 2 older sisters and an older brother and then me.
And I'm curious as to your Catholic education when you were young. Did you attend any Catholic schools when you were growing up?
Yes, I did. I went to Jesuit School, which was a kindergarten through 12th grade.
Wow.
Catholic high school in downtown Miami.
Wow.
And in my junior high school year, the bishop built a Catholic boys' school and a Catholic girls' school just north of the downtown area. And I was switched over to Archbishop Curley High and graduated from Archbishop Curley High.
When and how did you first take an interest in auto racing? What attracted you to that sport?
Well, you know, I already mentioned that we had quite a big family. And I guess around my freshman or sophomore year, my mom's dad, Grandpa Patton, came to live with us. And he was an enthusiastic sports enjoyer and had his own little car that he drove around. And he would take one of us kids and go to an event on a night to a movie or to a ball game or any kind of a sporting event. And said to me one night, "Come on, Bobby, we're going to the car races." And took me to the old Opa-locka Speedway. And I was just thrilled with how this racing activity really turned me on. And well, my mom didn't care for it, so she still put up with it. And Grandpa took me to a few more races, and then I found a man in the neighborhood who enjoyed them, and I cut his lawn for him and did little chores and things like that, and he took me to the races. And finally, I got to the point where I was riding a motorcycle in Florida. The motorcycle license was good at 14 years old. And of course, I did me just riding. I'm 14, going on 50 at the time. And rode my motorcycle to the racetrack quite a bit. And then they decided to build a new track, and then while they were finishing up this new track at Hialeah, they decided they would have an amateur division. And so I knew Frank Kersey, the quarterback, who later became a University of Miami quarterback and went into the pros for a while and then coached for a while in the pros. But Frank had a 38 Chevy that he'd dolled up just a little bit. Didn't do much to the running, but painted it a little bit fancier than stock. And I bought that from him and took it out to the Speedway. And the third week, I won a race.
Wow.
And so that started me on my racing career, for sure.
Wow. Wow. Well, for those who are not aware, in 1988, Bobby suffered a career-ending crash in a race at Pocono Raceway. Bobby, can you talk about how much prayer was a part of your surviving that, meaning both your own prayer and what I'm sure was probably an overwhelming amount of prayer by your family and the auto racing community?
Well, certainly a lot of prayer by the racing community, my family, especially my mom and dad. And my mom was a great, great Christian. Great Christian Catholic, and my dad was the best Christian Catholic man that I ever knew. As I returned to somewhat of health, picture of health, and continued on with my activities, you know, after a serious injury, I could always rely on my dad saying, "We may have to work all night Saturday night to get a customer's job finished, but we'll take a shower and put on a suit and tie and go to mass Sunday morning anyway." And that was our usual routine. Sunday morning, my dad would come in from working all night on a customer's job and take a shower and put on a suit and tie and gather us kids up and mom and go to mass. Jason was our favorite church, you know. There are several Catholic churches around South Florida, and few that we could reach fairly okay from our house. But Great Gazer downtown Miami was really a special place for all of us.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's wonderful. Once you had fully recovered from that crash, were you able to make peace with the fact that your auto racing career was over, or did you maybe talk to God and ask him that why me question that so many people find themselves with?
Well, I didn't do that much. You know, I felt like bad situations, bad luck in racing or whatever, might be a partial punishment for some misdeed that I had done. And, I felt like I certainly was one of those people that were successful with God being merciful and using me, I guess, just to me and taking good care of me. And I would take whatever the situation developed into and still continue to do the best I could with it.
Wow. Wow. And for the audience, Bobby's accident was very bad, but there was tragedy times two ahead for him, and you might even actually say times three. But before I get into those occurrences with him, last week on the show, I was talking about an unexpected situation that had come up, and it left me scrambling on a weekend to get help. But I cited the specific cost of that as just the latest example of costs that I am faced with in operating this Catholic Sports Radio ministry. They have really added up over the more than 2.5 years that I've been doing this, and I'm actually trying to compile them all so that a list can get published on the website for full transparency. It's worth noting here that I am the only one doing all the tasks associated with running Catholic Sports Radio, meaning I don't just interview the guests, but I line up people to be on the show in the first place. Plus, then I do the editing on each week's episode. I do all the social media posts, keep up the website, administrative tasks, and so on. There's no team around me. There's no staff, no volunteers. And since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, all the expenses have to come out of my own pocket, which gets quite challenging. All that being said, I trust that you are getting value from everything that I'm doing with Catholic Sports Radio, and I do truly hope that it's helping you in your faith life and that you find benefit in this ministry and the work that I do to try to help move more people in their faith life. So I do ask you to prayerfully consider supporting this ministry through a financial contribution. If you have been listening for a while, then you have heard me mention listeners and guests who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, and you have heard me say that there are two ways that you can do so. On CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that allows you to contribute securely online in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable giving as a one-time contribution. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Bobby, there has been a saying that as parents, we are not supposed to outlive our children. Sadly, exactly 2 months ago today marked 29 years since the death of your son Clifford in a crash during a practice session at the age of just 27 years old. What were you able to draw upon to get yourself through that time?
That was a really, really difficult time for me. I had been injured and had a brain injury previous to that. And Clifford was a very special child to me anyway. Davey was having great success with his racing, and I was proud of that and enjoying that. But Clifford was trying to get started with his career, and was actually partially started, and was full of enthusiasm and always willing to take a risk or to do whatever. And it really, really was hard for me to deal with the situation. You know, I spent many hours in tears. And tried to come up with some equation that would give me some peace. I did continue to go to Mass, and I tried to stay within the sacraments and live the best kind of a life that I could. But I really didn't even know exactly what to say or what to do. I prayed, but I prayed for peace for myself, peace for the family, but no specific prayer, just general prayer.
Yeah.
And lots of it.
Yeah. And for the audience, 11 months after Clifford's crash, Bobby also lost his son, Davey, who was 32 years old and died in a helicopter crash. This conjures up thoughts of Job and the stories that we read about him in the Bible. Again, Bobby, where did you find the strength to persevere after losing two sons in 11 months?
Well, I was still really grieving Clifford, and this happened to Davey. And I was sitting on a little dock in a little pond I had by my house there in Hughtown, and my mom came down and sat down on the dock beside me and said, you have to pull yourself together. I said, Mom, you lost three babies. What did you do? She said, I gave them back to God. Mm. And that immediately gave me some relief.
Amen.
It was the greatest comment by my mother. And I could believe her so easily because she was such a good Catholic lady. Mm. But she gave her children back to God. And I had to take that attitude toward it, but it really, really helped me. me right now.
Amen. Amen. And just to lighten things up a bit, there is an interesting statistic out there about your racing career in that you won races for 12 different teams. And to me, that says that kindness and getting along with others had to come into play in order to be able to sustain all those relationships. Yes?
Well, that was part of it. And that's the good part. I mean, I like to hear that part. Maybe you should even say it again. Because the other part of it, I won races and got fired. And I won races and quit.
Hmm.
Now, you think about that for a minute. But, I was so devoted to my career and to the racing industry that I could not put up with people, owners or mechanics or even cheerleaders for the team, any kind of thing of a negative attitude toward whatever went on. I was there to do my best I could, and if we had a bad day, thank you, Lord, and things could have been worse. And we had a good day. I tried to share that with everybody that was involved with me. A lot of victory parties were well attended, and I certainly did enjoy that. And like we said a little bit earlier, I did win a lot of races, both the Grand National races, Cup races, Winston Cup races, and later the Sprint Cup races and stuff like that. But I also won lots of short track races and little races or big events for some other organization besides NASCAR. I ran some USAC races and won, and some American Speed Association and won. And I didn't win every race I went to, but I sure won a lot of races in a lot of different divisions.
Well, and along that success, you lost your wife after 55 years of marriage. I think you're going to tell me that she was the real MVP of the family. Am I right?
Absolutely. She really contributed from very early on and gave us her four kids, Davey and Bonnie, Clifford and Carrie. And all four of them were such great additions to our family. We had a lot of enjoyment out of their personalities and about their private things that they did outside of racing, maybe even outside of some of the other activity that went on. And responded just really well and let us enjoy their successes and their good times, as well as enjoying their own happenings, whatever it might be.
Well, in a minute or so ago, you mentioned about the racing community. And back on episode 96 of this show, I interviewed Humpy Wheeler, and he said that during his time when he was involved with NASCAR, he felt that everybody was very closely bonded together through their faith. And I'm sure that you probably saw that along the way as well, that the NASCAR family on the whole, including the spectators, were very receptive to sharing their faith with each other.
Yes, I did see that along the way. We had several tracks and one special priest, when he could get a day off every now and then, he'd show up at a racetrack and give the invocation for the event, which was always a very enlightening homily, and then join the officials and the suite. Occupants for the race. Father Dale Gruber from Wisconsin. And he was a delight to me, too. I met him in Wisconsin years ago when he came to one of the short tracks there one night. We got to meet and talk and became great friends. And I talk to him even frequently right now. He's still there. He's become quite old, but he's still active. And he has two parishes there in Wisconsin because of the shortage of priests. So he rents two parishes, and he still goes to raise his son, but he usually takes a fast car and goes in all the shortcuts to get there, just so he can see some of the events.
Well, and nowadays you are still very active on the racing scene. Share with the audience about all of the traveling that you still do to various races and events.
Well, I go to a lot of the cup races because I still do really enjoy that. That was really my special thing in my life for so many years. And I keep track of both friends and newcomers and things like that. You know, look at these new guys coming in. And believe me, they're so cute. They're really delightful people, good competitors. And you know, really great race car drivers. And so I pay attention to that. I really like the road courses when I was active, and I see some that like them now and some that don't, which we had that back into. And you know, pay attention to things like that, the different speedways. I won on every speedway in NASCAR over the years, except one. And that racetrack was the most like my home racetrack, Holly Speedway. Martinsville, Virginia. A really tough little half mile. Always had great purses and great attendance and great fans there. And great races for the fans to watch. And the first time I was there, I led the 495th lap, and my engine blew up.
Mm.
And I coasted to a stop in the grass over inside of turn one, and they went on to finish the last five laps of the 500-lap race with me standing there beside the car in the grass. And I led lots and lots of laps at Martinsville, but never got to take that sacrifice home from that one racetrack. I won the road courses and the big tracks and little tracks. And I did win dirt finally along the way, but it was very much insignificant compared to my thoughts of Martinsville or then the Charlottes or Daytonas or Riverside road course and any of those other ones were really special races that we didn't get to win.
Well, wonderful memories all. And for the audience, there are opportunities. If you go on BobbyAllison.com and then click into the contact page, you'll see a button to go over to the official Facebook page for Bobby, and you can see some of the locations, the races, places where he's going to be at, where there could be a chance for you to meet him. But for now, Bobby, I want to thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed having you on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed it being with you. It's a great program, Catholic Radio.
Listeners, we're going to close with our sportsman's prayer. We haven't done this in a while. We'll do it together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.